Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair fourth quarter and full year 2015 financial results call. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intent, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions or our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Yevgeny Chuikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome everyone to Systemair's fourth quarter and full year 2015 results. Let me introduce our key speakers. We have Mikhail Shamonin, our President and CEO, on the line. We have Vsevolod Rozanov, our Senior Vice President and CFO, and myself, Yevgeny Chuikov, Vice President and Head of Corporate Communications. Now, before we commence, you can find our presentation on our website, www.systemair.ru, and I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his opening remarks on our results. Mikhail, over to you.
Yevgeny, thank you for joining us to discuss Systemair's both fourth quarter and full year financial results. I'm glad to report that despite a challenging macro environment, Systemair made excellent progress in terms of both financial performance and strategy execution. Our consolidated revenues grew 9.7% versus 2014, while our OIBDA increased almost 7% to 176 billion rubles. All of our largest assets delivered strong performance, starting with MTS, that continues to deliver on its strategy, successfully growing data revenues and expanding its retail network. In particular, we are very satisfied to see that MTS was the only one of three largest operators that managed to significantly grow its top line. A key highlight in the reporting period is the accelerated growth of our non-public assets, which are rapidly diversifying our portfolio. The share of these assets in the consolidated revenue went up 36% in 2014 to 41% in the fourth quarter of 2015. Детский мир increased its revenues by 33% year-on-year, maintaining OIBDA margin at above 10%. The company continues robust expansion in the Russian market, in particular by replacing less efficient competitors. In 2015, Детский мир completed a large investment project of building a new logistics center of 70,000 square meters in the Moscow region that provides an excellent base for operational improvements and further growth of its own retail store network. Additionally, Детский мир's focus on online sales resulted in 137% growth of that segment. We are also pleased to have completed a sale of 23% of Детский мир to Russia-China Investment Fund at excellent valuation levels. RTI, our technology and defense holding, saw revenue growth of 25% in its core unit defense solutions with the unit's OIBDA margin of 14%. RTI also continues to capitalize on import substitution via its microelectronics unit, where the group posted OIBDA margin of 11.4% in 2015. Overall, this has led to a substantial increase in OIBDA and significant reduction of debt. An important event in 2015 was the signing of an agreement with Reliance Communications on merging our telecom assets in India. In March 2016, we also were pleased to receive support from Telecom Dispute Settlement and Appellate Tribunal, which said the company is not supposed to pay a continuity fee for its spectrum. The deal remains subject to no significant legal appeals and DOT approval. We believe we will be able to provide more guidance at the end of first half of the year. Meantime, I'm pleased to report that, as promised, operationally, SSTL reached break-even in all 11 circles and is almost break-even at OIBDA levels. Let me now turn to some of our new assets, which we have come to play a dominant role in our portfolio in 2015. Sistema's fastest-growing asset in Russia last year was pulp and paper holding Segeva Group. Since acquiring the group at the end of 2014, we have turned it into a highly profitable business with a value-driven strategy. Segeva is a unique asset with leading market positions in all business segments, large access to wood resources, and up to 60% cost advantages versus global peer group. Our belief in Segeva's robust investment case was fully vindicated in 2015 when the company delivered 35% revenue growth and more than doubled its OIBDA, meanwhile achieving a 20% margin. We see continued strong growth opportunities for Segeva in the next few years from its paper and sacks division, where we can increase production, increasing wood resources and processing, which will maintain our cost advantage and expanding plywood production to maintain high margins. We're targeting to maximize the share of owned wood consumed and have made considerable progress there. In the fourth quarter 2015, this share was around 66%, up from 49% in the same period of 2014. As a bottom line, we expect that the implementation of Segeva's investment program combined with cost reduction efforts will translate into further top-line growth and resilient OIBDA margin of around 20%. In 2015, Sistema made great progress in establishing one of the country's largest agricultural holdings. The sector offers massive growth opportunities based on Russia's structural advantages such as low cost of land and weaker ruble and changing business environments such as import bans. In addition to our wheat production business, last year we acquired three additional businesses focused on milk and livestock farming, gardening, and vegetable farming. As these are new developments for Sistema, I would like to highlight some of their key investment case components. Starting with the milk business, we acquired a leading milk producer in the Krasnodar region, which delivered one of the highest yields per cow of 10.3 tons per year in the country. Demand for good quality milk is growing, while the ban on cheese imports has also increased demand for local milk-based products. OIBDA margin in this business was 40% in 2015, and we believe it can be higher going forward. In November 2015, we acquired an apple producer, Orchards of Kubань. This is a well-recognized brand with great level of gardening expertise and latest farming innovations. Last year, it harvested 15,000 tons of apples, achieving 50 tons per hectare. This is a highly profitable company with a 70% OIBDA margin and over 50% net income margin in 2015. We plan to further expand volumes and margins in this business, in particular by replacing imported apples that still account for around 70% of apples consumed in Russia. High production and cross-border delivery costs make imports considerably less competitive in the sector. For example, the difference between apple production costs in Poland and Russia is now about 40%. Also, as you know, Polish apples are currently subject to an import ban. Our latest acquisition in agriculture, as of now, is Russia's and Europe's number one greenhouse farm, Yuzhny, that operates 144 hectares of greenhouses and has produced around 34,000 tons of vegetables in 2015. Having acquired it from a financial investor, we see significant potential in transformation of Yuzhny and optimization of its business process. We intend to upgrade the greenhouses complex, which is expected to result in a significant increase in the crop yield and to bring the company's EBITDA margin to around 30%. Our strategy is to build out Russia's leading agricultural holding with a total land bank of at least 500,000 hectares, and we are currently integrating our agricultural assets under a holding company called AgriHoldings STIP. The holding is developed by a very experienced team led by Konstantin Averin, one of Russia's most successful entrepreneurs in agriculture. Mr. Averin has minority stakes in most of Sistema's current agri-holding assets, which ensures the team motivation. We see agribusiness as one of the fastest-growing parts of our portfolio. In 2015, this business has generated more than $8.5 billion of revenues on aggregated basis with an OEBDA margin of 34%. Around 40% of the sales are represented by exports, which provides a good currency hedge. We have clear organic growth plans for each of the businesses, which should lead to higher market share and consistent margins. At the same time, we obviously have quite an extensive M&A pipeline in agriculture on the table and will continue to invest in the undervalued assets of the sector. Turning to our plans in 2016, as shown on slide 9, we have set ourselves several key objectives. Our fundamental aim is to further improve cash conversion and deliver dividend growth. At the holdco level, this will be done in part through substantial reduction in holding company debt, strict control of costs and efficiency measures, and monetization of certain assets. At portfolio and asset level, we plan to focus on growth opportunities in existing businesses, which I discussed earlier, and new investments into attractive growth sectors. It is important to stress that our monetization plans are very much in line with our overall aim of actively managing our assets and reinvesting proceeds into new opportunities. We own plenty of excellent assets, and even in tougher market conditions, believe there is an opportunity to attract strategic investors either through sale of equity or non-core asset divestments. Over the last couple of years, we have also successfully managed our real estate assets, which in 2015 added around $10 billion to our revenues. This business is focused on monetizing our existing real estate assets through very select development, but mostly through rent and technical services, and will too contribute to cash flows to holding level. Overall, this will lead to a growing cash inflows. In 2015, dividends from non-public subsidiaries amounted to just over 5 billion rubles. In 2016, we expect total cash inflows from non-public subsidiaries, including dividends, to double, while also receiving similar-sized dividends from MTS as in previous years. Through these consistent actions, we believe shareholder returns will significantly improve in 2016 and drive Sistema's value much higher. We are also contemplating enhancing our dividend policy this year. While it is very premature to discuss its substance, we want to bring it much more in line with market practices, which in turn should increase returns to shareholders. We anticipate these changes to be finalized, approved, and announced in the next few months. To conclude, I would like to stress that we have made great progress in 2015 and entered this year with an even stronger position in terms of cash at corporate center and with a much more diversified and resilient portfolio of assets. We will continue these efforts in 2016, and based on our current plans, we believe we will deliver excellent results to shareholders. I will now hand over the call to Siavat Rozenov for financial overview.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. As Mikhail has said, during the fourth quarter and full year of 2015, our largest portfolio companies continued to grow their operations, and this remained the key driver behind Sistema's increasing revenues. I would like to specifically highlight the contribution of our two non-public, Detский Мир and Segezha Group, our vertically integrated logging and wood processing company, into the Sistema's growth. Consolidated revenue for 2015 increased by 9.7%, despite macro challenges and volatility. During the reporting period, Sistema further diversified its revenue base, with non-public assets increasing from 36% of consolidated revenues in 2014 to 39% in 2015, and to 41% in the reported quarter. Newly consolidated Segezha Group contributed 5% to total revenues, thanks to both the successful transformation of the company's business processes and very healthy growth of the foreign currency-denominated export sales. In the fourth quarter, revenues were boosted by the strong performance of MTS and Kimir, as well as by the consolidation of the newly acquired Kronstadt and agricultural assets. The group suggested to EBD was up in both the full year and fourth quarter of 2015. The key drivers for OIBDA improvement in 2015 were the consolidation of Segezha Group, organic growth at Detsky Mir, and improved profitability at RTI. There was also a visible reduction in OIBDA loss at SSTL year-on-year. MTS Bank incurred significant losses in 2015, mostly related to the corporate loans, including such one-off items as provisions on the loans to Transera and to some other large corporate customers. The group's SG&A to revenue ratio was down year-on-year to 21.1% from 21.5%. Our subsidiary companies continue to demonstrate efficiency in this area, with 7 portfolio companies delivering year-on-year decline in the SG&A to revenue ratio, and 2 keeping it stable, and MTS was one of the 2. Now I would like to discuss our debt and liquidity positions. The group's total debt position increased quarter-on-quarter to 556.8 billion rubles. The majority of the group's loans are denominated in rubles. That share has been kept relatively stable at about 6% at the end of the third quarter of 2014. The corporate center debt was 32.7% higher compared to the third quarter and amounted to 116.8 billion rubles as Sistema refinanced SSTL. Since our last call, Sistema placed 10-year exchange-traded bonds with a total par value of 10 billion rubles. In mid-December, we secured a club loan facility from China Development Bank and Bank of China for an unsecured 6-year credit line with a total limit of $350 million. This was the first ever unsecured club loan issued by Chinese banks to a Russian holding company, and it provided us with additional source of dollar liquidity. The debt at the corporate level is largely public, consisting of euro bonds denominated in US dollars as well as ruble denominated bonds. In the fourth quarter, the share of dollar debt was 39% compared to 41% for the same period in 2014. To diminish foreign currency exposure, corporate center hedged total amount of US dollar denominated payments of 2016 and aimed to hedge respective installments of 2017 shortly. Our liquidity position at the corporate level as of the year-end 2015 was strengthened by the receiving dividends from subsidiaries totaling 28.3 billion rubles net of tax, as well as from the sale of 23.1% stake in Detsky Mir to Russia China Investment Fund. As of the end of the reporting quarter, we had a cash position of 50.6 billion rubles. At the end of 2015, we had additional 38 billion rubles in deposits classified as long-term, of which around 25 billion have been monetized in the first quarter of 2016. In the fourth quarter, we reversed provisions for some financial assets received from Euroinvest, for which we provided an initial recognition due to the uncertainty of the recoverability. More detailed information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial results and breakdowns by individual companies is available in the presentation and press release published on our website. I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call back to you.
Thank you, Tevalet. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Evan Kim of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, please. Firstly, on the dividends, your leverage at the holding company level has already increased quite a bit, but you will also recognize transfer another half of SSTL debt in 2016, and you will also convert, the put option of Rosomushis for their SSTL stake into that. So how do you view this balance between the dividends and the leveraging? Because I guess deleveraging is a priority. So any color on that would be appreciated. And secondly, thinking about the agricultural business, which has apparently very good growth potential. Thinking about 2017 or 2018, I don't know what's your sort of normalized year for EBITDA kind of expectation, but what would you say is the ballpark target EBITDA number for this business without significant investments, where we can see that in 2017 or 2018? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. On dividends, all I can say at this point is that there definitely will be a dividend. Size of this dividend in absolute terms will be more than last year, for sure. Of course, I cannot guide you to the exact size, and I cannot guide you to the exact timing when we will announce this dividend. We will pay it in time, just as we paid all the previous years. But I guess you'll just have to wait a little bit more to hear the exact number, because we are still in internal discussions exactly what this number will, should be, given our cash flow projections, our debt repayment, as you correctly mentioned, but also potential proceeds from asset monetization, dividends that we plan to receive from our daughter companies and other aspects, including, for instance, the closure of our Indian transaction. As far as agricultural business goes, it is developing quite rapidly and quite successfully, and again, very difficult to predict the future, but I would imagine EBITDA of this business in 2017-2018 to be somewhere between 5 to 7 billion rubles.
That's great. Thank you very much.
I add one point to the first question. I would like to stress that while our debt level has indeed increased in the Q4, the overall liability size is more or less stable, because we de facto transfer the Sistema guaranteed debt on the Sistema level, while there is no change in the overall amount. So there is no any increase the level of the liabilities on Sistema, and we do not foresee this to increase this year. On the contrary, we see significant opportunity for decrease the level of debt, and we aim at this. And this will not in any way jeopardize our abilities to pay dividends. The current policy is in place, and as it was said by Mikhail, we are thinking how to enhance it.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alexander Zingranovich of Открытие Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Two questions also from my side. So first, a clarification on your plan to reduce the corporate center debt by 30%. Do you mean the total debt or net debt at the corporate center? And the second question is on potential exits this year. Can you please once again update us with your view on Detsky Mir IPO? How feasible do you think is to do it this year on the markets? And or maybe you once again will delay it. And on SG Trans, is there any update which you can share with us on the potential deal there? Thank you.
On debt, we're talking about reduction of top-line debt, which means gross debt, not net. And on monetization, you know, it's a very sensitive topic, because it's always a complex commercial negotiation with a potential buyer, and I would probably refrain from giving specifics of our negotiations and sort of exact status on what particular assets, including SG Trans. We do have a plan, and we are working on a plan, and you know, we have reasons to believe that we can execute this plan and can achieve the target for debt reduction, as we said. But at this point, I prefer not to give more details than necessary.
Okay, and on Detsky Mir?
Yeah, on Детский мир, we probably have missed the spring window, so to speak, already. We are still looking into autumn window, and we're also negotiating with a number of private parties who are interested to increase or buy one more private stake in the company. But of course, we want to get a very good multiple, because the asset is in a very good shape. It's still growing. It's taking market share from competitors. You know, we have plans to essentially double up the number of Детский мир stores. So the asset is still in a very good growth trajectory, and we certainly don't want to be underselling it.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. The next question comes from Stanislav Kondratyev of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I have two questions, if I may. First, on Детский мир. You had quite a great year in 2015, opened more than 100 new stores, far above the initial guidance. And interestingly, that throughout the whole year, you were raising the guidance for new stores each quarter quite materially, from 40 at the beginning to 100 in the third quarter. And finally, you've even beaten the last one by almost 10%. So in 2016, you expect at least 50 new stores opening for Детский мир. And should we expect this new guidance as also quite conservative, while in reality, if the things go well throughout the whole year, as it seems now, you also have a good chance to open much more than 50 stores? And my second question is a bit on a less encouraging part of your business, MTS Bank. When should we expect the bank to break even? And if you could probably elaborate more on your long-term strategy in the banking business in Russia, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, on Детский, of course, in 2015, we saw an opportunity in the market and we seized it. Essentially, what's happening, Детский мир is driving out competition, and that's why it was able to open more stores than it was planning to. Competition simply cannot deliver the kind of prices that Детский мир is capable of delivering because of the economies of scale. Детский мир, on average, is 20 to 30% cheaper than most of the players, especially kind of smaller mom-and-pop, you know, private shops. Детский мир has more square footage per shop than any of the competitors, and that gives Детский an advantage on top of all the logistics, efficiency, and marketing and brand and everything else. Whether we will be able to open more stores this year than we announced, I guess we will see, because again, it's a question of whether this kind of opportunity, good moment and good drive that we had in 2015 remains in 2016. I think it's likely, but I wouldn't be able to give you 100% guarantee. And on MTS Bank, Всеволод Розанов, in fact, is overseeing the bank from Система side, so I think he is best to answer this question. Please, Всеволод.
Thank you, Mikhail. Indeed, recently I became the chairman of MTS Bank, and happy to address this question. We aim at a break-even at Q4 2016, Q1 2017. We see significant improvement in operations, and especially in our retail business, thanks to significantly enhanced cooperation with MTS. And this is basically one leg of our strategy, the focus of our retail strategy, where we aim at even closer cooperation of MTS Bank with MTS, utilizing this understanding of the customers. It's a retail network, and we are now in the final stages of the pilot between MTS Bank and MTS to co-share retail offices, which yields significant financial results for both MTS and MTS Bank, both an increase of the cross-sale and decrease of the costs for both companies. And also on the corporate business side, because we aim at following the universal bank strategy, on the corporate business side, we are significantly enhancing the cooperation of MTS Bank with other Система Group companies, and using the Система strength, and basically that leads to decreased costs for Sistema Group companies and additional revenues of MTS Bank, because historically, for certain reasons, MTS Bank was not working with Sistema Group companies as a corporate banker. So we believe that this strategy will lead us to the break-even at the dates which I mentioned earlier. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It is star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Dilia Ibrahimova of CG. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions, please. One is on agriculture sector. Where do you see yourself in terms of overall position or size within Russia? Do you think you could be able you would be able to grow holding agricultural holding into top 10, let's say, in terms of revenue in Russia, and given the pipeline of acquisitions that you currently plan, assuming if we say you would be able to, if you could execute on all of those, or perhaps where do you target to be? And the second question is on your recent acquisition in of Eldeca. Could you please give us a bit more details in terms of financials and how would that or how that would impact revenue and margins of Ashgaza Group in 2016? Thank you.
Yeah, on agribusiness, well, clearly we want to be among top five agribusinesses in Russia. Whether this goal is attainable, achievable or not, we will see in the future. Obviously, you know, people, a lot of people who never had anything to do with the agriculture, now all of a sudden, also stimulated, by the way, by our investment in the sector, became very interested in the competition for assets intensified, especially for good quality assets. And as in every sector and in every asset, we are not buying size for any price, regardless of the economic sense and the value creation opportunities. So if we can still acquire new assets at reasonable valuations, we will continue to do so. In fact, you know, where we are right now in the middle of, or rather at the end of negotiations to acquire another 1,000 hectares of land, which are 100% owned. So if we include that transaction, we'll increase our land bank almost twofold, and there are some other things that we're pursuing. But so ambition is there. Whether we can guarantee it, of course we can, but we do see an opportunity. As far as LDK is concerned, the goal is to at least double EBITDA this year to over 2 billion rubles in LDK in Krasnoyarsk, and use it as a platform for kind of a new hub, new development of the pulp and paper business. Because basically, despite the fact that Russia is covered with forest, and one would think that, you know, getting forest plots to harvest and to kind of explore should not be a big deal, but in reality it is a big deal. In fact, you don't really have much of the plots available anymore that you can acquire from the state. And the biggest value in Krasnoyarsk purchase is the purchase of forest, of raw material plots that we will be able to use for all kinds of forestry and pulp and paper production. You know, building new pulp and paper mill is not in the cards yet because it's quite capital intensive. But again, it depends on whether we can find partners and potentially the government to help us with the long-term cheap financing. If we can obtain such a financing, then building a new pulp and paper mill starts making a lot of sense because, as you know, Russia does not produce, for instance, white, you know, craft paper, which is used in food packaging. Basically, all the food packaging you see in Russian stores is imported. And that's a huge import substitution opportunity. So there are lots of ideas around it, but right now we see Krasnoyarsk assets that we acquired as assets that have been undermanaged from the efficiency perspective, and there are lots of things that can be done to increase EBITDA and efficiency without any significant investment in the assets.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone touchpad. We have the follow-up question from Alexander Vengranovich of Открытие Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks again. My another question is on real estate. So you said in your speech earlier on this call that real estate assets contributed some significant part of the revenue this year. Can you please tell us a little bit more about the future of this business? When do you expect to receive sort of dividends or any cash inflows from your real estate companies to the corporate center business? And when do we expect any significant update on what really happens with the real estate portfolio? Thank you.
Well, from our real estate business, in fact, we have two. One is one asset is called Lider Invest, which is a real estate development company, and the other business is called Business Недвижимость or Business Real Estate, which is essentially a rental model. From both businesses, last year altogether we received already around 2 billion rubles in dividends. So these are businesses which are giving us returning the money already. And they're profitable, and they're very low on debt. So both business models are quite sufficient. Lider Invest is currently working on, I think, 21 construction sites, development projects. Those are mostly sort of 8 to 12,000 square meters buildings, redevelopment sites in place of former MGTS telephone stations. And typically those locations are placed downtown Moscow in sort of existing quarters. And because of its relatively small size, it's easy to sell. And even given the current kind of macroeconomic environment and a bit of a slowdown in the real estate market, we have no issues with apartment sales in those buildings. So that all goes according to plan, and we make at least 40% margin on pretty much every building that we build. Then we have a large project in Nagatina, which is around 300,000 square meters of apartments that we're planning to build. And we will get all the permits and everything organized and arranged and planned by end of this year, and we will start development in 2017. This project will likely give us between 6 to 10 billion rubles of EBITDA. And then we have this even larger project called ZIL, which is something that we competed for and took from one from a Moscow government, 50-50 partners with LSR Group, which is one of the key developers in Moscow, and that is a much bigger project. Our exposure at this will be much smaller. There will be other private investors, but still we do have this as an option if we want to expand. So those are the key development activities in Lider Invest, and I think for the next sort of 10 years, the road is paved, and we can be pretty sure how this business is going to look like, and every year we expect this business to return dividends to Sistema. And retail business недвижимость, you know, the rental business, what we're planning to do this year or maybe next year is to package all the real estate that we have, and we in this business we have around 500,000 square meters of real estate. We're planning to package it in a fund and sell stakes in this fund to outside shareholders, and also produce dividends for both Sistema and outside shareholders to share obviously financial risks. So kind of, you know, we're happy with this business. We don't want to overinvest, and we don't want to overburden it with debt. We want to kind of tread carefully given the macroeconomic risks. But so far we believe it's a success.
Thank you. That's really helpful.
Thank you. We have no further questions. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you. We're now ready to finish this conference call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.